Mr. Eagleman quoted Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." So he has spoken unto us by his Son in these last days, Acts 2 and following. Mr. Eagleman, you acted as if you didn't hear anything I said. And I suspect that's so because you decided not to reply to it. You just read from a prepared script in that speech. I've already replied to this argument that the New Testament contains Acts 2 and forward only and exclusively rules out everything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I replied to that extensively in my last speech, and you didn't reply to it. Instead, you just read from a prepared speech. It is true that Jesus spoke to us in these last days. But remember I quoted Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, which says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Is that New Testament or Old Testament salvation? New Testament. "Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord." So the Lord himself spoke at least some about the New Testament law, the New Testament salvation, while he was on earth. So your interpretation of Hebrews 1, verse 2, is false because it contradicts Hebrews 2, verse 3. And if you'd have replied to that verse, Hebrews 2, verse 3, maybe you would have seen that. But you didn't. The truth is that Jesus gave preparatory teaching while he was on this earth. The Old Testament was still in effect, but he prepared us, like John the Baptist. He prepared the way by teaching some about what would be in the New Testament. I gave you an example in the last speech, but I didn't give you the reference. Acts 20, verse 35. Notice that what is said here, "I have showed you all things," I believe Paul is speaking, "how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, Paul quotes that. Is that part of New Testament law or just Old Testament? Paul quotes it in Acts. It's after Acts 2. It's obviously part of New Testament law, but he said Jesus said it while he was on the earth. If you have a red letter Bible, it's in red, which means Jesus said it while he was on earth. Okay? That shows that Jesus said at least one thing that was New Testament law while he was on earth, doesn't it? Because Paul quotes something he said while he was on earth, and it's New Testament law. I mentioned that. I didn't give you the reference last time. Ralph, I mentioned that last time, but you didn't respond to it. Why not? If there's a response, why don't you respond to it? Instead of just saying the same thing from a prepared speech and just reading it. Again, we said according to Ralph's reasoning, there would be no zero causes for divorce today. Did he respond to it? No. Remember what we said? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Here's God's divorce law in the New Testament. This is after Acts 2. He says, "Let not the wife depart from her husband." That means you can't leave them, separate from them, or divorce them. Because if you divorce them, that's departing. If you leave them, that's departing. That's God's law. Now, if that's the only law we have and we don't have Matthew 5:32, Matthew 19:9, then there would be no exception to this, and you could not divorce your spouse for any reason. Not for any reason. And so if you did, no matter what the cause was, whether it was for burning the biscuits or fornication, you'd have to get out of that second marriage and go back. That's what it would mean. If Matthew 19:9 does not apply today, that means you cannot divorce your spouse for any reason. He mentioned 1 Corinthians 7, 27 and 28, like that would allow divorce. No. If we don't have Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32, then the only way you could be loosed from your spouse, which is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 7, 27, 28, is by death. Romans 7, 2 and 3. The only way that you could be loosed, the only way after Acts 2 that says you can be loosed from your spouse is Romans 7, 2 and 3. And it says if they die, you're loosed. Okay? So if Matthew 19:9 does not apply today, then 1 Corinthians 7, 27 and 28, when it says that you're loosed, wouldn't be talking about any divorce at all. It would only be talking about death. Because after Acts 2, there's only one reason, one way that shows that a man can be loosed from his wife, and that's death. Not a single other way is ever shown. Divorce is never said that divorce looses you from your spouse after Acts 2. The only place is Romans 7, 2 and 3, and it's death. Now, before Acts 2 and Matthew 19:9, you see one other way that you can be loosed if you divorce him for fornication, but he doesn't accept that. He said divorce is not in our law. Well, Ralph, if divorce is not in our law, then we couldn't do it. We wouldn't be authorized to get a divorce if it's not in our law. But that's not true. It's in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10. And if you notice at the end of verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 7, it says, "Let not the husband put away his wife." That's the Greek word apoluo, which is translated divorced or put away in Matthew 5:32 and Matthew 19:9. Same word, Ralph. "Let not the husband put away his wife." And then it says in at the end of verse 12, "Let him not put her away." There it is again. There's the word for divorce. At the end of verse 11, at the end of verse 12. So divorce is in the New Testament law after Acts 2, and both times we find that word, it says, don't do it. Now, do you know any exception to those rules found in the New Testament after Acts 2? I don't. The only exception I find to those rules found in 1 Corinthians 7:11 and in verse 12, where it says, don't put them away, don't divorce them. That's apoluo. The only exception I find is in Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32. Again, according to his reasoning, there would be no scriptural divorce whatsoever. All second marriages, period, would be adultery. Every single one of them. And again, Ralph just read from a prepared speech. He didn't respond to what I said. He ignored these two charts that I brought up last time. 16:16, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. Now, this kingdom of God wouldn't be the law and the prophets. He says everything that was preached, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, had to be the law and the prophets. This says the law and the prophets were preached until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. What's that, Ralph? It's not the law and the prophets. Obviously, that's the New Testament law, the kingdom. Sometimes, many times, used interchangeably with the church in the New Testament. The kingdom of God, that's the new covenant. Jesus went about preaching the gospel. What's that? Old Testament or New Testament? Jesus came preaching the gospel. Jesus must preach the kingdom of God. Jesus sent them to preach the kingdom. Go thou and preach the kingdom of God. All of those are talking about what happened to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it can't be the law and the prophets that they were preaching. This verse shows it was something different than that. That was preached to John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. Ken, raise it up. Look at this one. He skipped this one too. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's kind of like Acts 20:35, where Paul quoted, it's more blessed to give than receive. The Holy Spirit probably reminded him that Jesus had said that. Ralph, let me ask you. It says here that Jesus would send him the Holy Spirit to be there after he left, and it would bring to their remembrance things that he had said to them. Now, when did they preach those things that they remembered, that the Holy Ghost caused them to remember? Isn't that New Testament law? Is that talking about New Testament law? Remember in John 16:13, he said, I will guide you in all the truth. So obviously that's New Testament law. He's bringing to their remembrance New Testament law. He says, whatsoever I have said unto you. So obviously he said at least some things that were New Testament law. And that's why John 1:17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth, that's New Testament law, came by Jesus Christ. Put up the next one, Ken. These things are so obvious, but Ralph just decides not to reply to them, because they directly contradict his position. Ralph, I asked you, do these things apply today? They're all in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do they apply today? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. According to your reasoning, you better not ever, once again, preach that as applying to be a New Testament law. Never can you quote John 3:16 as applying to us today, showing that we must believe in Jesus to be saved. You can't quote it. Next time you have a debate with a Baptist, instead of saying, well, yeah, belief is mentioned, but that's not all you have to do. You also have to be baptized. What you're going to have to say is tell the Baptist, that doesn't apply today. I can't believe you'll do that, Ralph. I can't believe you've ever done that. But according to your reasoning, that's what you should do. In John 3:3-5, except a man be born again, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Obviously, talking about water baptism, how that's necessary to be saved. Was it necessary under Old Testament law? No. Didn't have baptism back then. Jesus is preparing the way. He's telling Nicodemus what the law would be under the new covenant. Ralph, answer this question. Have you ever preached that this applies today? Have you ever told somebody they needed to be baptized today because of what John 3:3-5 said? Have you ever told a person they need to be born again? According to Ralph's reasoning, the idea of being born again doesn't even apply today. We make fun of people who say born again Christians. We say, what other kind of Christian is there? Ralph found a new kind. No Christians are born again, because born again is found in John 3. That's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Doesn't apply to us today. I believe you can see the absurdity of it. I believe that Ralph knows it's absurd, because I guarantee he's quoted these passages all his life to apply to today. Now, when we see this as absurd, what should it do? Ralph has to go to some absurdity to try to prop up his position. That shows that his position is false. What about Mark 16:16, the Great Commission, also found in Matthew 28? Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. It's in Mark. It's not after Acts 2. According to him, it doesn't apply today. What about when my father's house are many mansions? He's going to prepare a place for us. Is that in the Old Testament or New Testament law? Ken, what about Matthew 18, where he says, if a brother offends you, go to him privately. But if he won't hear you, take with you two or three more. And if he won't hear them, tell it to the church. Well, the church wasn't even in existence when he said this. So obviously it was preparatory teaching. He was saying when the New Testament comes along, this is what you should do. Rightfully so, that's the way we do it nowadays in the New Testament church. The parable of the sower, according to Ralph, we can't preach that anymore. Doesn't apply today. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Can't quote that today to show that we must worship God correctly today, because that's not, according to Ralph, that's not applicable today. Now, let's specifically get to the passages in question. First of all, Matthew 5. Matthew 5:32, that has the exception. It says, if you get a divorce for any other reason, it's a sin. Does that apply today, or is it part of the Old Testament law? Well, let's notice what Jesus did. In Matthew 5:31, and he quoted Deuteronomy 24 a while ago. Matthew 5:31, Jesus said, whoever puts away his wife, verse 31, it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Do y'all realize that's a quote from Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, the Old Testament law? Then Jesus says, but I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. Whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. The word but there shows a contrast. Jesus is saying, this is what Deuteronomy 24, 1 said, but I say unto you, and he makes his law stricter. As a matter of fact, six times in the Matthew chapter 5, he says, you have heard it said by them of old time, but I say unto you. And in all six times, he quotes the Old Testament. Here he's quoting Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. And then he says, but I say unto you. You see, he's contrasting the Old Testament law. He quotes it six times, and he says, but this is the New Testament law. So he's teaching New Testament law, not Old Testament. He's contrasting Old Testament with New Testament. And that's what he's doing in Matthew 5:32 when he says, this is the only cause. It obviously applies today because he's saying this is not the way it was in the Old Testament law. And you know, you make the same point from Matthew 19, the other passage I brought up. In verse 7, after he said you shouldn't, that what God joined together, let not man put asunder. In verse 6, they, the Pharisees, said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? A reference to Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. Notice what Jesus said. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered or allowed you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Jesus admits that Moses allowed it for uncleanness, Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. Jesus admits that Moses allowed it. But then he says, but from the beginning, it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Jesus is saying, yes, Moses allowed that, but I'm not going to allow it anymore. We're going back to the way it was in the beginning. You can only get a divorce for fornication, not just for any uncleanness, as Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 says. He says, Moses allowed that because of the hardness of your heart, but from the beginning it was not so. And he gives his New Testament law. So we've proven from the context of Matthew 5, 31 and 32, and Matthew 19, verses 7 through 9, that these two passages are not Old Testament law, they're New Testament law. Jesus is contrasting his New Testament divorce law with the Old Testament law that Moses had in both cases. And then here's Ralph, what he said. He says, since there is no divorce law in the New, of course, we read over in 1 Corinthians 7, three different times it talked about divorce. Two of those times it used the word apoluo, which is the word for put away or divorce. It's in the New King James, divorce. Even in the Old King James, in Matthew 5:32, it says divorce. It's apoluo. He says the government marriage and divorce law is the only law we have, since the New Testament doesn't have one. Again, what about polygamous and homosexual marriages in countries where that is allowed? I know there are polygamous marriages allowed in some countries. So that's okay for them. It's according to their law. There is no marriage and divorce law here. We can just go by the government law. There are homosexual marriages in some countries, and it will be that way in Vermont or some of our states pretty soon. They will allow homosexual marriages. He says homosexual, not approved of God, marriage is. That's what we're trying to say, is that homosexual marriages are not approved of God. They're marriages, but they're not approved. But not all marriages between man and woman are approved. That's the whole point of this debate, and we'll show that in just a minute. Let's look at, put up number 5. Before we talk about this marriage, which is a marriage between a man and a wife, what about polygamous marriages again, Ralph? Because you said, well, homosexual marriages were never approved of, but polygamous marriages were in the Old Testament. So that doesn't meet your point there. What about polygamous marriages? They were approved in the Old Testament. What about them today? Suppose you're in a country where it's allowed according to the law. And remember, polygamous marriages were allowed under the Old Testament. What about it, Ralph? We need that answer. Here is a marriage that was clearly unlawful. This was a marriage between a man and a woman. Herod had married Philip's wife, Herodias. John said it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. According to Ralph's position that he's contending for tonight, that's impossible. Because all marriages between a man and a woman are lawful. John said it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Now notice, it's not Herod with another man. It's not Herodias with another woman. It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. It was unlawful, in spite of what Ralph said. He said, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, if it is a marriage, it is honorable. Again, he ignored what we said. What about polygamous and homosexual marriages? They're marriages. I guess in a country, I know this is repulsive to us, but this is the extreme absurdity that his position will go to. When a country, and it will happen, mark my words, it will happen probably in our lifetime, when a country allows a man to marry an animal and have relations with it, according to Ralph's position, it will be okay. Oh, because that's according to the law of the land. According to the law of the land. If he says, no, that's not approved of God. Neither are adulterous marriages. Neither are marriages between man and woman when they have no right to each other. That's according to your position. If a country allows a marriage between a man and a beast, then his position, the consequences of his position, he'll have to allow it. All right, let's go to that next chart again. Now, what I ask you to do is just please accept what the Bible says. If you will just accept what the Bible says. Now, see, what we do is we read the Bible and we accept it. Then Ralph spends all of his time going in a big, long, complicated speech why this doesn't apply today. Now, we've gone through and proven it does apply today conclusively. So we're back to the simple matter of just reading what the Bible says in the New Testament and accepting it. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, commit adultery. Whoso marries her, which is put away, doesn't commit adultery. We read that to start with, and then he gave you complex reasons why it didn't apply today. We proved every one of those wrong, conclusively. So we're back with a simple reading of the New Testament. We just need to read that and accept it. Now, I know a lot of people don't like it. I'm talking especially to you people who are in unscriptural marriages. If you're here, maybe you're part of the congregation that Ralph worships with, or another congregation, and you're in your second or third marriage, and you did not divorce your first spouse for fornication, you're under the censor of this verse. It doesn't matter how many times Ralph tells you you're okay. Jesus said you are in adultery. Every time you sleep with that woman, you're committing adultery. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 says that adulterers, and then it lists a bunch of other sins, and it says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. You've got to repent or you're going to end up in the bad place. Ken? Next chart. Now, why do people have to separate? Raise that up. Here's the passage in Mark 6 where John said it's not lawful for you to have her. Well, first of all, they don't have a right to be married. If you're in an unscriptural marriage, you don't have a right to her. You need to go back to your first one and perform your obligations toward them. And because every time they have sexual relations, they commit adultery. Adultery denotes one who has unlawful intercourse with the spouse of another. They must stop the adultery. That's why if I divorce my wife Carol for burning the biscuits and marry Betty Sue, if I want to repent, I've got to stop that adultery, just like a homosexual would have to stop his homosexuality, just like a polygamist would have to stop his polygamy, just like a thief would have to stop his thievery. You've got to get out of it. Seek reconciliation with your first spouse. 10. Repentance demands that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Here's a verse about John the Baptist and Herod. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Well, John also taught, bear forth fruit meet for repentance. You have to repent, and that means change. Raise that up. A thief will have to quit being a thief. A polygamist will have to quit being a polygamist. A homosexual will have to quit being a homosexual. An adulterer will have to quit being an adulteress. An adulterer will have to get out of that marriage and quit committing that sexual sin. Yes, do you have any more? How many more do I have on the list? 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Just like this proves that homosexuals have to quit being a homosexual to become a Christian, so that it will be true of them if it said, such were some of you, past tense. This shows also that adulterers have to quit so it can be said, such were some of you if they become Christians. So in conclusion, Ralph is only against divorce. He doesn't think remarriage has anything to do with the sin. But 1 Corinthians 7:11 forbids the remarriage after a divorce. Romans 7:3 shows that a woman marries somebody, but it's called adultery. Luke 16:18, a woman marries somebody, it's called adultery. According to passages like Matthew 19:9, then my opponent approves of adultery. Matthew 19:9 says, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. That's what Jesus said about it. That is the truth of the matter. It's not hard to understand. It may be hard for people to practice, but it is not hard to understand. You must, if you want to go to heaven, practice this verse. If you're in an unscriptural marriage, you better get out of it before you die, because blessed are those that die in the Lord. Thank you very much. Please.
Mark 9:1, he said, there are some of you which stand here which will not face the death till you see the kingdom of God come with power. So the kingdom did not come until Acts 2, when the keys of the kingdom were given to the apostles. This is when the kingdom, then it was preached, the kingdom of heaven is here.
Teaching of Christ to that great nation, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. All families of the earth, his other sheep, are not included. The Jews at this time were under the Roman government, and were not allowed to stone anybody to death, even though the law of Moses said to. This false doctrine brings up Herod and his brother Philip's wife. Matthew 14:4. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Why was it not lawful for him to have her? They were living under the law of Moses. In Deuteronomy 24:1-2, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. This was their law. It was not lawful for Herod to have her, because brother Philip had not given her a writing of divorcement and sent her out of his house. If he had, it would be lawful under the law of Moses. She was still brother Philip's wife, because he had not given her a writing of divorcement. If you will go back and study the culture of the Jews at this time, they were not keeping the law. They were just putting away their wife without a writing of divorcement. And that was what Philip did. Or Herodias just left Philip without a writing of divorcement. Therefore, it was not lawful. The Jews hated Jesus. He said to their faces, ye hypocrites. Hypocrites was used by Jesus 12 times in Matthew. They tried every way to trap him, to get him to say something contrary to either the Roman law or the law of Moses. John 8:4. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. What act? Getting married the second time? Or having sexual relations with her husband? It was neither. It was the act of sexual relations with a man who was not her husband. Why did they not bring the man also? The law said stone both the man and the woman. They thought they had him trapped this time. If he said, don't stone her, they could condemn him by the law of Moses. If he said, stone her, they could condemn him by the Roman law. He said neither. But he said, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. nobody cast a stone. Now let us look at Matthew 19 and 9. At this time, the Jews were just putting their wives away without a writing of divorcement, and this was what Jesus was condemning. Jesus did not say what this false doctrine would have him saying. Deuteronomy 24, 1 and 2. If you write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of your house, when she is departed, she may go and be another man's wife. But when she marries another man, she commits adultery. That is what you have Jesus saying. If he would have said that, the Pharisees would have condemned him then and there for contradicting the law of Moses. What was their sin? They were not giving her a writing of divorcement, but just putting her away without a writing of divorcement. Therefore, she was still married to the man that put her away, and if she married another, she would be married to two men. Christ called it adultery. We call it bigamy, or a bigamist. That was what Jesus condemned. Let us look at verse 10 and 11. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying. Question, did God make a law he knew man could not keep? Absolutely not. Christ condemned them for putting away their wife without a writing of divorcement. This is the only teaching that harmonizes with the rest of God's word, but it really does not make any difference what he said. It was to the Pharisees on the other side of the cross, under the law of Moses, before he spoke to or included all families of the earth. If Matthew 19 is the New Testament law, then we must keep the Sabbath day. In verse 16, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 17, Jesus said, keep the commandments. Do we take verse 9 and make it our law and reject verse 16 and 17 and leave it under the law of Moses? Is that the way we rightly divide the word of truth? Take the verse we want and reject the verse we don't want? Absolutely not. But that is what you have done. Took verse 19 and try to make it our law, and of course you reject verse 17. This was all under the law of Moses, and it needs to stay there. Now let us apply the four things. Who is speaking? First, the Pharisees. When was it spoken? Under the law of Moses. What was the purpose? To condemn Jesus. Then Jesus spoke to that great nation, the Jews, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When was it spoken? Under the law of Moses. What was the purpose? To answer them in such a way they could not condemn him, and in so doing, he condemned them. It was never intended to be a marriage law for the Christian age. That was not God's purpose. He accomplished his purpose, and this was never mentioned again, not ever. Whatever he said, it was only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel before he was given all power in heaven and earth. It was before he became the author of eternal salvation. It was never made a part of our perfect law of liberty. If so, where is it written? It is not written in our law, so it is loosed. So let us leave both verse 9 and verse 17, where God put it, under the law of Moses. Now let us look at this false doctrine. You must divorce your second wife, and you must, if possible, go back and marry your first wife. It is written in Deuteronomy 24 and 4, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after that she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord. This doctrine you are teaching, that you may remarry your first wife, is abomination before the Lord. It is written in Deuteronomy 24 and 4. Second, if you do not remarry your first wife, which is an abomination before the Lord, you are forbidden to marry. Now let us look at this doctrine, forbidden to marry. The first observation God made of man is found in Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Why is it not good for man to be alone? A healthy, normal, red-blooded man will seek the companionship of a woman, and a normal woman will seek the companionship of a man. Then as their friendship grows, their desire to commit fornication grows also. God knew this, and fornication is sin. Therefore, he did not make a law that forbids a man to have a wife or a woman to have a husband. What is God's law? It is written, 1 Corinthians 7:2-3, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Likewise also the wife unto the husband. It is written, this is God's law that he made with all families of the earth. God in this New Testament law has made no exceptions whatsoever that a man cannot have a wife. Let every man have his own wife. Every woman have her own husband. What if they are divorced? If they are divorced, they were married, but now they are unmarried. It is written, 1 Corinthians 7:8, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. They would have to first be married before they could be unmarried. Your shoe cannot be untied until first it was tied. If they can and are satisfied to remain unmarried, that is good. But if they cannot contain, and most can, Jesus said in Matthew 19:11, some men cannot keep the saying or cannot contain. Therefore it is written, 1 Corinthians 7:9, but if thou cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. It is written, let them marry. If you are divorced, you are loosed from your wife. And if you do marry, have you sinned? It is written in 1 Corinthians 7:27-28, art thou bound unto wife, seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife, seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. It is written in your Bible the same as it is in my Bible. They have not sinned. Now let's examine this doctrine that forbids a man or a woman to marry. It is written, it is the doctrine of devils. 1 Timothy 4:1-3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. There is two doctrines of devils given here. Forbidding to marry and abstaining from meats. Because it is in the same verse, men apply it to the Catholics only, but it applies to all who teach this doctrine of devils that forbids anyone to marry. Let us take a closer look. In the latter time some shall depart from the faith. What caused them to depart from the faith? These seducing spirits. What are these seducing spirits? These teachers in our so-called Christian colleges and preacher schools who teach these young men that they must teach this devil's doctrine that forbids you to marry. These are the seducing spirits. Let us look at what is written. The Spirit speaketh expressly or distinctly It came from the mouth of Jesus Christ from the throne of God in heaven. Some shall depart from the faith. The great departure began in 1945 when H. Leo Bowles wrote a series of articles in the Gospel Advocate on divorce and remarriage, in which he advanced five basic theories, which are the exact same theories that were developed and finalized by the Council of Trent in the mid-16th century and are now recorded in the New Catholic Encyclopedia, Volume 4, page 281. They have been departed from the faith ever since they have accepted this Catholic doctrine of devils and rejected the doctrine of Christ. Giving heed to seducing spirits. What are these seducing spirits? These seducing spirits are these teachers in our so-called Christian colleges and preacher schools. It is written, 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed in an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. These seducing spirits are the devil's teachers, teaching the doctrine of devils to these young men. When you go preach, you must teach this doctrine of devils. If you have been married and divorced, you are forbidden to marry. The devil's ministers, teaching the devil's doctrine, forbidding to marry. Now this false doctrine, you must divorce this wife, and if possible, you must marry your first wife, which is abomination before God. If you cannot marry her, you are forbidden to marry, which is the doctrine of devils. This false doctrine is what a great many of the churches of Christ is teaching. It is written, 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, it is the doctrine of devils. Now let us look at how God would have a marriage to be. 1 Corinthians 7, 2 and 3. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Likewise also the wife unto the husband. They are to be there for one another when they need each other. And if they do this, they will never divorce. God has given us the order of authority. 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. God, Christ, man, and woman. God said, let every man and woman have a mate. God has told us what our relationship to each other should be. In Ephesians 5, 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. When a man and a woman are married and live as God has instructed them, man cannot separate them. The only thing that can separate them is death. This is how God would have a marriage to be, and this is the way a Christian marriage will be. But we are human beings, and it takes two to make a marriage, but one can break a marriage. But when a married couple are not living as God has instructed them, this is where the sin is committed, in the marriage before the divorce. I asked the question in a Bible study class, what is an unscriptural marriage? One lady spoke up and said, I can tell you, when a man spends his money he makes for liquor, goes to the basement, lives with his bottle instead of his family, will not provide for his family, this is an unscriptural marriage. That would be the nearest thing to an unscriptural marriage as you could find. He was breaking God's marriage law. The sin takes place in the marriage before the divorce. The divorce after the marriage breakup is the healing process. Marriage after the divorce is a new beginning. This false doctrine, you must stay together in this marriage. even if your husband drinks, won't work, abuses you, no matter what, you're bound to him as long as you live, and there's nothing you can do about it. You married him, live with him in this sinful marriage. This is where the sin is, and you do not have to stay in this marriage. It is a false teaching. It is absolutely not the New Testament law of God. It is not written. It cannot be found in God's New Testament law of liberty. Again, what is God's marriage law for us? It is written, Romans 13, 1 and 2, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. What is God's instructions in our perfect law of liberty as to how a man and a woman are bound together, or how they're loosed, or who can be loosed, or who cannot be loosed? Absolutely none. It is not written in our law. The marriage law of the land is God's marriage law to us. When a man and a woman obtain a marriage license, someone who has the authority pronounces them husband and wife and signs the license along with two witnesses, and it is recorded they are bound together, husband and wife. I believe all will agree that God accepts this marriage. When this husband and wife go before a judge and he gives them a writing of divorce, and it is recorded they are loosed by the same law that bound them, why should we not accept this also? This is God's law. It is written, Romans 13 and 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. This marriage law is the ordinance of God. God does not want a man or a woman to stay in a sinful marriage. Once you get a writing of divorce, you are loosed, and when you are loosed, it is written. 1 Corinthians 7:28, but and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Where there is no sin, there is no need for repentance, and if no sin, no need for separation. If they were legally married, and legally divorced, and legally married the second time, it is not an adulterous relationship. They are not living in adultery. They have not sinned. It is written in Hebrews 13 and 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. This false doctrine is that marriage is an adulterous relationship. God said it is honorable. Man says it is an adulterous relationship. Which is telling the truth, God or man? Except that which is written. Now let us give the devil's doctrine back to the devil. Let us teach the simple doctrine of Christ found in our perfect law of liberty, bound on earth and in heaven. Let us teach all sinners. Nowhere in the Bible can you find the question ever asked, have you been married before? Let us not turn a couple away from God because they are in their second or third marriage. They have neither broken God's law or man's law by being married. Baptize them into Christ for the remission of their sins so they can be God's children and live in a Christian home and go to heaven. God's law is not to destroy homes, but to make Christians, and in so doing we make Christian homes. This gives man a new beginning. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let us give them a new life with God. And if they continue to serve God from this day forward, heaven will be their home. May God bless and keep you. And hope to see you back here tomorrow evening. Thank you for your presence and your kind attention.